What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 230. And our podcast is, of course, brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going with me. Of course, this is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Lots of new stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited to try maybe a new game tonight. Just all sorts of stuff going on.
Yeah. So for everybody who's in the live stream, we want to say what's up. And of course, this is our weekly podcast where we talk about tech and all of the goings on in the PC hardware world. This past week, yeah, I've gotten in some cool stuff. I don't know if you guys can see behind me. I have it slightly blurred,
yeah. But
there's some stuff going on back there that which we'll talk about, which I'm actually one of the products that are back there is a product that I've wanted to actually, like, I've seen it, I've been showed it, but I've never had my hands on it to actually test. So we'll talk about that towards the end of our podcast. I'm really excited about that. But let's just jump into reviews this week. And for everybody who wants to follow along, we do have our full show notes page, which is linked in the description of either the video, or if you're listening to audio, it's linked in there as well. So you guys can go ahead and follow along with us. But first, we have a gaming product from a company that I had not heard of before receiving this. You want to try to say it? EK? Do you say EKSA or EXA?
I said EXA.
EXA?
I mean, it's four large, you know, uppercase letters, and it could be an acronym, but I think EXA just...
So it is the EXA E900 Pro, which Paul reviewed. And this is a very inexpensive gaming headset. It's 7.1 virtual surround sound headset. The design sort of looks like a HyperX Cloud almost, if you guys are familiar with that. Just, I mean, based on looking at the pictures, he said it's very comfortable. He said that the sound quality he was very, very impressed with. And for something that's only $40, like, you think when it comes to audio, you usually think the more expensive it is, the better quality it is.
Sure.
And that's usually that for a lot of products that is how it goes. Now, I do have to say, when it comes to like Beats, they're garbage compared to what other audio products that are around the same price. I feel like Beats are garbage. But besides that, I feel that a lot of products are very, like, they're priced inaccurately, and we kind of get that sometimes. So these sounded really good to him. And the biggest thing that he had said was that the microphone quality is really good. Now, we can't show it to you here because for some reason, StreamYard doesn't bring my audio over from my computer. For some reason, but we have our audio clips in the review, and he has a audio test of the Audio Technica AT2035, which is an XLR mic, which is what I'm speaking into now. So usually sounds really good. And then he has the boom mic on the E900 Pro, and it sounds really good. I'm sure you know, you've done a ton of headset reviews. The microphones on headsets are never fair. They're never good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously some are better than others, but none of them are as good as like a dedicated microphone.
The only one that I've ever seen and used was the one Sennheiser gaming headset. That microphone sounded excellent. And I think this microphone sounds better than most gaming headset microphones, because they usually sound like, I don't even know the word to try.
They're
to
just a little tinny, usually.
Yeah,
metallic-y, yeah, you know, just
yeah. They're just not very good. So that's the biggest thing that sold me on this, because there are $100, $150, $200 gaming headsets where their microphones don't sound remotely close to as good as this. So definitely check out these audio samples. They're just that good. And like I said, it's just that good. And for $40. Virtual 7.1 surround sound. I've messed around with a bunch of different virtual surround sound in headphones. It's decent. It's better than, like, say, a stereo headset, at least in my opinion, especially when you're gaming. So that's something to consider as well. But he gave it a 9 out of 10. Pretty much for $40, you can't go wrong. We talk about products. It's just like, it's kind of a no-brainer to buy. And for $40, especially if like you're doing a new PC build and, you know, you don't think about spend, you know, you don't want to, you want to try to save, you know, you're going to save around $50 to probably $75 by picking this up over, say, like a Razer or Corsair, and it might even sound better. That money can go a long way towards, you know, RGB memory or an NVMe SSD and things like that.
That's a pitfall of like some of these, you know, videos and articles are like, oh, the $500 gaming PC or $700 gaming PC, until you add in the peripherals, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's something that just people forget about. And so,
it's and the
nice
monitor,
to see a nice monitor, but a nice $40 headset that sounds good. Yeah.
It's awesome. Just, it's like a no brainer. So the second product that we reviewed this week is another portable SSD. I love these. They all tend to be the same, but this one is a little bit different. So I kind of like it because I am a person who goes on adventures and I go to places where electronics can get damaged. I do have a nice backpack, but you still want a little bit more protection. So this is the Orico SV100. USB 3.2 Gen 2. So you're going to get read and write speeds. They rate this at 940 megabytes a second. But we got well over 1,000, which you should get with most of these drives. Speeds on these drives are pretty much the same because it's the same bus. You know, you're not going to get a drive that's super, super fast compared to the other one. And the big difference with this drive is that it has a rubberized housing.
Makes so much sense, like, to have that integrated cable storage there.
Yeah, so...
Where'd my cable go? Oh, guess what? If I put it into the integrated holder, I know where it's at.
Yeah, so two things with this drive. First is that it has the rubber housing around it, basically protects it, and it makes it waterproof because on the end, you have this little door that when it's closed, it's fully waterproof. So you could submerge this in water, and you more than likely don't have to worry about your drive getting, you know, messed up. That's great because I've been out in the woods hiking and I have a backpack that has my camera gear. It does have portable SSDs in it just because I offload stuff when, you know, SD cards fill up. And I've had it where I've gone in pouring down rain. And luckily my backpack is waterproof, but, you know, some water can get in and you just worry about it. So you have this housing that basically makes it waterproof. It also makes it easier to pick up and it makes it so it doesn't move around or scratch your desk. So many of these portable SSDs are made of metal. You have them sitting there, they move around on your desk and you're just going to, like, I have this nice white desk that I love. And like, if I had a scratch mark on it, I would stare at it all day. So that is the one thing. And then secondly, you have this holder for your cables. It does come with two cables. You have a USB type C and then you have a type C to type A. They both will fit in here, not together, but either one or the other. And it's just nice to have this because, again, so many times I'm like, oh yeah, I have my drive. And then especially with the type C drives, when I first started getting these drives, I only had one type C cable because I have an iPhone, which obviously doesn't use type C. I had nothing else that had type C. So I only had one type C cable. I forget that cable. Mm-hmm. I can't access my data. So just having it on this little storage thing that they, you know, give you is pretty cool. Now, the one thing would have been nice is if one of these connections was actually a connection into the drive.
Yeah, like attached.
Because again, this doesn't do me any good. Like if it's always attached, it just makes it so much easier, I think. But overall, I think this is a really great drive. Comes in, I believe, 128, 256, 512, and 1 terabyte versions. We reviewed the 512 gigabyte version. And like, if you look at our test results, it is quite fast. And again, all these are relatively around the same, but if you look at, you know, over 1,000 megabytes a second, crystal disk mark, and you can see kind of where it sits in read and write speeds, these are all relatively close when you get to the USB 3.2 Gen 2 drives. But very fast drive, highly recommended for portable game drive, for portable editing drive. Those are the two biggest things I would say. But even if just a fast drive to transfer data from home and work, or a lot of you guys are working from home, just an extra drive to maybe do your work on that you know is going to be really fast. So yeah, I believe I gave this, I'm pretty sure I gave it a 9 out of 10. I could be wrong. Oh, I only gave it an 8 out of 10. Oh, that's the reason.
Software.
I forgot. Price does not come with software, which a lot of these don't, which isn't a hit on.
Yeah, I don't necessarily expect one on like a fast SSD. It's not super high capacity, so you're not really using it as a backup drive, you know. Yeah.
But it is right now, it's $159.99.
For the 512.
Okay. For the 512. A 512 gigabyte ADATA SE800 is around, I think, $79.99 or $89.99. And the Saberin Rocket Nano. These are two drives that we reviewed. Similar speeds and similar. The ADATA drive is IP67 rated, which means it is waterproof as well. They're $60 less, basically. Okay. That is a lot of money. And for no, I don't see a reason why this drive is so much more expensive. It performs around the same. It's USB 3.2 Gen 2. The only thing is the extra housing, which adds bulk. And again, the ADATA drive is IP67 rated and is smaller. So it's like, if it was priced at $100, I'd be okay, even though it's still a little bit more expensive than the other ones. But it's $159.99, which just makes it really expensive. So I kind of knocked them on that. But it is a good drive. It's just, yeah, the price just kind of kills it for me.
Yeah, they gotta fix that. Otherwise, yeah. Pretty good product.
And again, that price might be based on availability because of coronavirus and kind of what's going on in the world and supply issues. We've seen that with what's the mixer that we both want to get that can never be found?
Go XLR.
Yeah, the Go XLR.
Either one. Yeah.
Either one can't be found, and you can buy them on Amazon. Thing now. Yeah, you can buy it for $1,000 on Amazon if you want it that fast. But yeah, that could be an issue too. But at least right now, this thing is priced way too high. It should be $100 or cheaper. But it is a good drive. So guys, definitely check that review out. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build in a case that we haven't seen a build in at least for a little bit. This was a case that a lot of people did builds in. This is called Roll Cage. It's from Metallic Acid Custom PCs. We featured a bunch of his builds before. He custom painted the which one is this? Is the mini? Yeah, the D-Frame Mini. Custom paint, and this is an Audi paint, he said. And one thing that's interesting about it is on these D-Frame builds, we typically see, like, you want to show off the motherboard or whatever. But what he did is he made these custom brackets to hold the graphics card up front. And then you have the res here up front as well. And I think it's really cool. You don't see a whole lot of the internal of the PC. He does have it kind of open here so you can see the memory and some of the water block and stuff. But it's just, like, it's clean. It seems very clean to me.
Yeah, there's not a lot of cabling. It's like super basic cooling. It's just a CPU that's water cooled, so you don't have the extra block and cooling for the video card. But I love that light pink accent to it, right? Mm-hmm. The fluid isn't like a solid. I'm sorry, I said pink. I mean purple. The fluid's transparent with a little bit of that purple glow to it. I think this build's amazing looking.
Yeah, it's very very clean.
I love the chunky tubing right of the frame as well.
Yeah,
very cool.
And it's nice to see, we've seen some of these painted like crazy, like yellow and really kind of like vibrant colors, where this is like, again, this is a car paint, the Audi silver, as it what he said. And it just goes really well. Like, cable management's really good in the back too. It's pretty cool how he cut out this section for the radiator too. Like, it just all kind of works and goes together, and I think it looks really good. So definitely check that one out. That is, again, from Metallic Acid Custom PCs. And we have a new contest, which we talked about. Didn't I say last week we were launching a new contest?
You did. Super excited about it, and I see why now.
Yeah, so we are giving away a motherboard. We don't do a whole lot of motherboard giveaways. We try to, you know, we usually do is keyboards, headsets, some other hard drives.
Yeah, something that doesn't like lock you into a form factor or a, you know, a an ecosystem, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so we just reviewed it. We are giving away an Asus ROG Strix B550F gaming Wi-Fi, the exact same one I reviewed. It is not the exact same one. Like, it's not used. It's brand new. It's sitting back there. So I actually have it here. I will be shipping it out to the winner. Super easy to enter. This is running for 1 month, so you have a ton of time. You can see there's 26 days left. Over 6,000 entries already. Only thing you have to do to enter is sign up for an email newsletter. And then once you do that, you can unlock 18 more ways to, you know, get an entry in. I like this board. This board is great. Remember, with B550, you're still getting Gen 4 speeds on the top PCI Express slot and the top M.2 slot. So you're going to get those super fast speeds for, you know, if you have super fast drive, which again is obviously the reason to go B550. So yeah, get your entry in, super easy to do. And hopefully, like I said, we always do these giveaways just to give back to you guys. So, you know, so yeah, so get your entry in.
Not like the ones.
Yeah. Right? And that brings us to news this week. And we haven't heard AMD graphics card news in a while, I would say. I think that it's kind of been on the DL. We've heard some stuff from NVIDIA and all that, but AMD, it's been a little bit since we've heard some news. And this past week, we got some, at least some info or rumor about AMD's RDNA 2 based GPU. Of course, a lot of people know this as Big Navi. We've been hearing about it for a long time, but we haven't, like I said, recently, we haven't heard a whole lot about it. And this comes from, what's the guy's name? Moore's Law is Dead. He's a YouTuber. He's saying that it will be 40 to 50% faster than the RTX 2080 Ti. And it will come out in September. That's
pretty soon.
Yeah, that's pretty soon. And that's very fast. Now you have that's to remember fast. Too, is that we will see a new NVIDIA graphics card around that time.
Yep.
Too. 3080 series or 3000 series. So we don't, like, yeah, it might be 40 to 50% faster than a 2080 Ti, but a 3080 Ti will be out at least around that time.
Sure.
Maybe a little bit after. So it's like, we do see this and we get excited. Again, this is a rumor, so take it with a grain of salt. But if it even were the case, we see this where, like, NVIDIA or AMD's like, yeah, it's faster than this. And then NVIDIA's like, yeah, we have this new thing coming out. Just wait. And then you wait a month and it's so much, you know, so much better. It's always like catch up, I feel, when it comes to graphics cards and AMD. But if it is that much faster, you have to remember that we never got a high-end graphics card from AMD on their 5700 series. Never
just got the XT, right? 5700 yeah. XT, and that was it.
Yeah. So you could, you know, but that is
obviously it's not going to reach Ampere performance, but, well, you know, that we know of. But I'm guessing the pricing, though, is the thing where they're probably going to be a little more competitive, you know, hopefully beating 20 Ti performance and at a lower price. So
I just, I'm fine with that. 40 to 50% faster just seems like even NVIDIA's own cards don't typically do that.
Right. That's a big number to, yep.
I can't remember the difference between a 1080 Ti and a 2080 Ti. Wasn't it like,
to go back, 15%? I don't feel like it was enough of a jump because I was considering, you know, going to that for my next card. And then obviously when the pricing came out for it, plus, you know, they were really hyping RTX, it just didn't feel like it was enough of a gain. So I don't know that it was nothing close to 40 to 50%.
Yeah. So I think this is a little bit exaggerated. It just kind of has to be. Like, I just don't see it. But again, I mean, look at Ryzen too, you know.
Right. They just keep blowing it out of the water. So.
Yeah, but I always get very excited for AMD when it comes to graphic stuff, and then you're eventually disappointed. I hope that trend changes.
But not that the 5700s were disappointing, right?
They weren't disappointing, and I actually recommended the 5700 XT to a lot of people because at $400, it's performing to like a $600, $700 at the time. NVIDIA cards. So yeah, like they did really good in that. But they, in order for people to take them seriously, I think they need to take on a flagship NVIDIA graphics card.
Yep.
Right. And they haven't done that. So we'll see. Again, I think September is going to be a really interesting time, you know, for all of this. And, you know, but again, this is just rumors. We really can't, you know, we can speculate and say that, but it's just, sure. It's just rumors at this point, but it's good to see some AMD GPU news, you know. I think that kind of been missing it because it's been all NVIDIA recently. And talking about NVIDIA.
A little Intel, right?
Yeah, and a little bit of Intel. But talking about NVIDIA, it appears that they have ended production of their GeForce RTX 20 series Turing graphics cards. This, of course, is to get rid of the current inventory of their, you know, the current graphics cards to make room for their upcoming 3000 series graphics cards. This kind of makes sense. Yeah, it's not really like news.
So it's obvious, but
yeah, it's obvious.
It's kind of a milestone, right, in the whole process and life cycle of a card, right? There,
well, yes,
it's done. So
yeah, it's you know, it's that's just like, but it this does make you think that okay, these cards are coming because if they're stopped making the previous generation, that means that the new generation is coming.
Right, they're gonna build up inventory,
and orders could already be ready for the new generation, you know, so it's definitely this whole September, October, November timeline that we kind of have kind of seems like, because when we first started, we seemed like, oh no, we won't see anything till next year. But now it kind of seems like the end of this year, we're definitely going to get new graphics cards. So that's something to look forward to for sure. And talking about NVIDIA, we talked about AMD announcing their bundle. NVIDIA has announced their game bundle, and it is Death Stranding. So Death Stranding will be available on all RTX graphics cards. So from 2060 to 2080 Ti, you can get Death Stranding. I've heard really good things about this game. Like, I heard it's really beautiful. I know nothing about the game.
Yeah, I was really excited about it when they were first showing some teasers, and it just looked like it was intriguing and so mysterious and creepy. And there's this baby, like all this just craziness. And then like we got closer and closer and I just fell off with it. And then I see these screenshots of like, and the memes about the guy carrying boxes on his back and this backpack that's huge. And I never really felt like there was the hype once it was released to keep me excited about it. Plus it's not on a platform that I, you know, care about until now. So
No, I've heard it looks really good on PC, yep. Obviously. And I think that, it has, you know, ray tracing and DLSS and all that kind of stuff, which is going to make it look even better. But yeah, you'll get it for free. And it's not only the graphics cards, but if you get any desktop or laptop with an RTX series card, you will be able to get it as well. And it's from now till July 29th. Free game. Check out for sure. So
week and a half left.
It is. Remember, you used to be able to get like three games.
It still happens.
Yeah,
it's not as though you got to buy a, you know, like MSI. You had to buy the motherboard and the monitor and something else. And
And here's another gaming story. Who makes Watch Dogs? Ubisoft, right? Yep. Yeah, Ubisoft had their online event here a couple days ago, and they were showing Watch Dogs. Legion, which is the new Watch Dogs game, and apparently it was running on an RTX 2080 Ti at 1080p, and it couldn't even get over 60 FPS. This is with ray tracing turned on. Obviously, it's not like super optimized, but I would say that this is only expected. These new games with the amazing graphics that they're going to have, you also turn on all the RTX and the computing that you need for all of that. It's no surprise. I'm not really surprised by this. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's the next generation, and sure, maybe the first couple, you know, iterations of RTX games, RTX enabled games could run on that hardware, but now they're able to take more advantage. They've learned how to program for it, right? And make things look better. Well, making things better probably takes more hardware.
On top of that, the next, like, this is, I mean, obviously you can see, like, the pictures are, you know, RTX stuff, you know, that they're probably testing this in-house, like, you know, Ubisoft in-house is testing this on next-gen hardware.
Oh, sure.
That has, and we know for a fact that the next-gen, you know, RTX 3000 series will have more RT cores. So this, yeah, it's going to run, like, if you turn RTX on, it's going to run like crap on a 2080, but 3080, we have more, you know, we have more, what else is the word I'm looking for? I can't talk tonight. We have more resources to sure. do all of that. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm not really surprised by this. I think we'll see this with a couple of games until we get that new hardware out there and they can actually talk about it. Yeah. So Not necessarily surprised. I never got into Watch Dogs. Old man said he needs to get around to play Watch Dogs 2. Yeah, it was like free on something, and I have it. I never got into it.
I think that's kind of how I am too. I have a free copy of one of them.
Yeah.
I feel like there was like some downtime to a service, and we got some games, and that was one you could choose maybe.
Man, I forget. I know I have it, but I've never played it, so... an interesting thing is happening with Intel CPUs. So right now, a Core i5 10600K is selling on Amazon for $289.99 and Newegg for $299.99. That is above the actual MSRP of the chips, which should be $262. And then if you guys haven't heard of Silicon Lottery, we've talked about them before. Basically, what they do is buy chips and they guarantee all core overclocks and their normal boosting clocks as well. Because, you know, that's why it's called Silicon Lottery. Because when you buy from Amazon, it is like a Silicon Lottery. You don't know if that chip is going to overclock well enough. You right. don't know if it's even going to perform normally well enough.
They take the risk out of it for you.
Yeah. So buying from Silicon Lottery means that you're going to take the risk out of it. They've tested it. They know that it's going to run guaranteed all core overclocks. It's guaranteed. So if you plan on overclocking, it might be a better idea to get one from Silicon Lottery. Right now, they sell a Core i5 10600K starting at $289 and going up to $419. They have a $299 option that is guaranteed to overclock to 4.9 gigahertz on all six cores and 5 gigahertz on two of the cores. That, okay. to me, seems like a much better deal than paying $289 or $299 on one that might not even come close to that, right?
Yeah. What you say? Yeah, absolutely. Now, what does the 419 option get you?
I didn't look.
It's for that same chip, right?
Yeah, I think that. Let's see here. Core. We can go to it. Core i5. You're doing it live. 409, 10600K. That's 5.1.
Okay.
Yeah. Across five.
Up on one six across six. 5.2 yeah. on two cores. Okay.
Yeah, so
that's a big price jump between a couple hundred megahertz.
Probably because they had to test hundreds of chips just to get that.
Yeah.
So I just think that this is really interesting because you can get a binned CPU for around the same price as a retail chip, right? I think that's cool. I very much highly support Silicon Lottery and what they do. Some people think it's crazy to buy, you know, you can buy a retail one for much cheaper typically, but you'd never know what it's going to do. I've you know, we test.
And they have a warranty as well.
Yeah, they have a warranty and everything, so it is well worth it, I would say, to go that way, especially now with this going on and the prices on Amazon and Newegg, it's definitely worth it. So definitely something to check out if you're looking to buy an Intel chip. And we have some interesting comments about, we talked about it a little bit, and it is a big deal in the industry as far as Apple making their own chips. We talked about it. It is a big deal. We're not Apple guys, so it's not a huge deal to us. We'll likely see an Apple-based Mac in 2021. But that's a huge market. That's a massive market. Probably bigger market than our enthusiast PC gamer market, you would think, right? Mm-hmm. So anyways, an old former Mac employee, he said that, you know, Microsoft and PC users will have to transition to ARM-based processors as well and get away from Intel. The main reason for this, and the reason that he had said this, is more or less not only performance, but on top of that is battery, because it's much lower wattage. You know, battery life on laptops is important to a lot of people. Like
king, almost, yeah. Right? If unless it's not your like, first, it, if it's not your first requirement, it might be your second or third. So,
yeah. Really quickly in the chat, Nelson said, when will we see Big Navi? Probably based on the leaks, you know, in what? I would say late September, I'm guessing. That's a guess. We had talked about it really quickly, but we'll probably see something around late September, early October. Yeah, in the fall. I would just put it out there too, in the fall. But back to Apple, I think that they're smart for making their own chip.
Yeah.
If you can have a laptop that you can use, you know, Wi-Fi on, everything like normal usage, that can get you a very long battery life, it's going to sell over something that's not. I always look at battery life if I'm buying a laptop, because I know that I'm going to be on a plane every year. I go from Pittsburgh to Vegas on a plane for CES, probably not this year, but you know, every year. And I know that I have, that is a 4.5 hour flight, or it's 5 hour, or it's like 4.5 one way, 5 the other way, whatever it is. I know that I need a laptop that can at least give me that. And that's like watching a movie, which is even more than a lot of these tests are. So battery life is important to me. And this, they're saying that this, you know, the ARM-based Apple processor is going to use a lot less power than what Intel is doing right now. And that other companies, you know, Asus, Dell, HP, need to make a shift board. Yeah, or more people are going to go for the Apple way. You know,
I don't think that'll be the case. I don't think it'll push people to Apple necessarily, right? I feel like
is this the end of Intel? No. I mean, you had AMD, just think about it, you have AMD really put a dent in their consumer desktop processors, and even go after their, you know, high-end, you know, market as well. Then you have Apple going with ARM to make their own processor. And again, Apple is 4% of their current mark, or 4% of their profits come from Apple. So that's a big chunk. And then if all of these other companies use ARM to develop their own processors or whatever, I mean, what do they have left? You know?
I don't know.
I think that once they get down in their process nodes, 10 nanometer, 7, you know, 8, 7, 5, they'll be okay. But I think they're just behind in that. And that has a lot to do with power consumption, right? On the processors as well. So once they can actually bring that, they can get their process node down, I think they're going to be okay.
You mentioned that, you know, AMD took so much of that desktop, consumer desktop piece. I really wish that there was the business world option for AMD, right? Because I'm just here on the Dell site, and sure, on the consumer side, I can get a Ryzen processor and a desktop, but they're only in, like, I just clicked real quick, like the Ryzen 5s and 7s, they're only in Alienware or Dell or, Alienware systems. Yeah. You go over to the business side, and the list of processors doesn't even show AMD. So they've still got such a hold in the business market. I don't see them going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I don't see them going anywhere, but it's like, could you imagine in like 2 or 3 years, Asus, Dell, HP having ARM-based?
Having an ARM? Maybe.
Yeah.
But we've tried that a little bit. I feel like they're just not there yet. You know, we've had the netbooks and, you know, Intel Atom processors, and they never feel like they're up to snuff.
Yeah. We'll see. I would really like when the new MacBooks come out with ARM. I would like to play with one or like compare them both. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of comparisons to compare them. So it would be very interesting to see all that. Paul is in the house. He said he's sorry he's late. What is up? And he said he's hope CES isn't canceled. I don't know, man. CES, which obviously happens every January, they already sent an email out asking.
It was like a survey, right?
Yeah, if the show would be better served in, what was it, July? Was it June or July? Was one of the questions? Yeah, it'd be so hot there. I don't know. And a lot of these states are closing back up, and you know, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with CES. I would say for sure. And Nelson said CES could have a show. People wear a mask, have both 6 feet apart at CES. I just don't see happening.
No.
It is so crowded. So CES is the largest convention in North America, largest show, probably over the 2 or 3 days. I think it's 300,000 people go there. And I've been in, especially like the main show floor where we used to have Intel running around there, but like, you know, you have the TV, the Samsung,
the Samsung, Sony's,
like those booths are crammed. Like you can't move. So 6 feet apart at CES just would not work. I just don't see it working. Paul said he knows of some couple companies that have already booked suites. Yeah, I know a lot of people. I mean, I usually book around this time too. It's kind of hard for me to book right now because I just don't. It's kind of hard to tell what's going on. You know what I mean?
In the air right now.
Yeah. So. Next story, which I'm actually super. This is probably the most exciting story for me all week.
Yeah, this wasn't on my radar, and I saw the headline. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. So cool. We know Galaxy in the enthusiast market. They, of course, make the Hall of Fame brand graphics cards, motherboards, even SSDs are Hall of Fame brand. I love their brand. I think that they make really cool stuff. They just got into motherboards, I think starting with Z490 or Z390, maybe. I forget. But they recently got into motherboards, and I think if they bring some of that DNA that they use for their graphics products into the motherboards are going to be good. So they do have a good amount. And it looks like they're going to be coming over to the American market. They usually stay in the APAC region, which is there's, so it's Galaxy in Asia, APAC stands for Asia Pacific, right? But then there's like Galaxy and some other, I don't know. But anyways, they're coming to the US, and I think it's great because in the motherboard market we don't see too many new players.
No,
right? The newest one was NZXT, who has their N7 motherboards, which are actually made by BioStar or ECS? BioStar.
Yeah, I think so.
BioStar. We don't really see many new players in the motherboard market, and I think this, you know, I think Galaxy can actually make an impact. Because the NZXT one really wasn't a big impact. They only made one motherboard. We're going to have a full lineup here. I don't know when these are going to be coming over, but hopefully soon. So that's exciting.
I wish they showed, you know, this image. They're showing a couple boards, and like they have a B550 and these H410 boards. I wish they would have shown something a little flashier. None of them have like the integrated IO shield. Nothing here looks flashy or gets me really excited, other than the fact that brand is, you know, coming to our market. But none of the products that they showed are like exciting to me.
Yeah, I think that they might be entering the market with these kind of lower cost boards to see, maybe to test the waters. And then we'll see high end boards come after. But it's always good to have another brand, hopefully another brand that we can work with as well. To get some reviews out there, because again, I see their Hall of Fame stuff. I'm like, oh man, I love that, but it doesn't make sense for us to review it because our audience is based mostly from US and Canada. So pretty cool to see that as well. Also this week, DDR5 was announced. JEDEC published the new DDR5 memory standard. We know that DDR5 will be in the next generation Intel processors will support it. The big change, one, efficiency has been improved from 1.2 volts to 1.1 compared to DDR4. You guys can read all the big differences if you want to get into it, but it's just good that we have the standard now. One, memory companies are going to be making it. Two is that we will, you know, the processor and chipset companies will be, now that the standard's there, they can add in support for it and things like that. So cool. I'm excited for that. DDR5.
I've always been on DDR4 for a while. I felt like we were on DDR3 for a really long time.
No, we were on DDR3 like for a forever. A very, very long time. Now on to gaming news. So again, there was a lot of gaming stuff this week. The first thing, which I'm actually decently excited for, the new poster for Far Cry 6 was revealed. One, Far Cry is an awesome, it's a really good single player game. Mm-hmm. I've always been a fan of it. We use it for benchmarking. And two, the main villain in the game is the guy from Breaking Bad, Giancarlo, or what's his name? Giancarlo Esposito. Which is this guy right here for everybody in the live stream. He was one of the villains in Breaking Bad and great character. So for them to get him, I think would be really great for the game. And they just kind of put it up on the Ubisoft store. What's it called? Uplay? Yes.
Uplay.
Probably going to have a really good story mode, I think. I think Far Cry games have had good story modes compared to some other games, so I'm pretty excited for that. Of course, being a new Far Cry game, we'll probably use it for benchmarking, I'm guessing. And Nelson said, talking about Galax, Nelson said, Galax white motherboard, hell yeah. And he said, I hope we get one for review. Me too. The Hall of Fame, Galax Hall of Fame motherboard that I believe they do have. And then if you match that,
Kingpin stuff is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and if you match that with their 2080 Ti or the 3080 Ti, and then they have a white M.2 SSD that has that cool heatsink on it too. That'd be a very, very cool. The biggest sale of a video game ever recently happened. Did you read the headline or no? Don't read the headline. Don't read it. No. Oh, you read it.
I read the article earlier this week.
I was going to ask you to see if you could guess how much.
Yeah.
So the game was a sealed original copy of Mario Brothers, rated at 9.4 out of 10. It sold for $114,000 at auction. Here you can see the picture of it. The buyer remains anonymous. The previous record for the most money spent on a video game was $100,050, which was also for a original copy of Super Mario Brothers, which is in a very similar condition. This Super Mario Brothers is more rare because it has this weird...
We don't have a picture of it. It's that cardboard tab on the back.
Cardboard hang tab that's on it. That's what makes it very rare. And as Nintendo started releasing games in the US, they changed that out to something else. So the fine one in this good of quality that has that hang tab is very rare, so pretty cool.
Like the hang tags underneath the shrink wrap, so it's like a useless piece. So it's like, you know, just one of those oddities, and there's like hardly any of them that like that.
Anyway. Yeah, so pretty cool. I wonder who the buyer is.
Who knows?
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, especially for a game that I mean, you're not playing it. It's just for a collection, right?
Sure.
If you had the money, would you buy it? I wouldn't.
If I had the... Well, that's the thing. If you have the money to buy a $115,000 NES cartridge, you probably have the money to afford everything else you want to buy anyways. So
yeah, that is true. That's just a lot of money, but very cool. It now sits as the record for highest or most money ever spent on a video game. So pretty cool there. And Microsoft Flight Simulator. So were you ever into Microsoft Flight Simulator?
No, I had like a Jane's Flight Simulator, and those are like the military ones that are super realistic. Okay. And that was like back when I was, it might have been late middle school. Man, yeah. I didn't play that thing at all because it was so complex. It had a manual that's like this thick. But I'm kind of excited about this one. This one looks really cool.
So when I was in high school, they had a setup with everything. Like it had I guess you could buy that. It had everything everything. And it was a lot of fun to play. And Microsoft Flight Simulator is when you say it's like the standard when it comes to like,
there's a couple others that are out there, but I think this one's the most mainstream yet robust simulator flight. You know, I hate to call it a game because it's a simulator.
Yeah,
you can't have fun with it.
Oh, we used to have a lot of fun. Like, there's this one, I forget where it was. There was a building that had like a thing, and you could like fly through it.
Yeah,
yeah. But anyways, Flight Simulator will be coming out August 18th. Three different versions of the game. So the normal game will be available at $60. Will come with 20 planes and 30 detailed airports. That's the standard edition. It will also be available through Xbox Game Pass. So if you have it, it's free. So if you have Xbox Game Pass, you get it for free. The second edition is the deluxe edition. It will be $90, have 25 planes and 35 detailed airports. And then there will be a premium deluxe edition that will cost $120 and come with 30 planes and 40 detailed airports. Microsoft has also said that they will have DLC in the future scheduled. So there is it's PC only to start. Xbox version is expected later, possibly to launch with the Xbox Series X.
Do we know how big this game's going to be? I've heard it's just going to be enormous.
Font sizes. I don't even know. If you're fully detailing like an airport and all of, you know, the surrounding areas and things like that, it would probably be huge. I don't know. I would guess. What's your guess?
I don't know. I was going to say 200 gigs, but I don't know.
Yeah, I would say something like that. Like 175 gigs, maybe. It would be nice to like have like a setup and like have all the stuff. 150 gigs. Is that a guess or you look it up?
No, I just looked it up.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot, but,
a minimum of 150
minimum.
Let's see here. Yeah. Whew. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's a lot of space. For a simulator, for sure. Yeah. So that is our news for this week. Definitely don't drop out yet, just yet, because we actually have a lot of pretty cool stuff to talk about.
Still more to talk about.
Yeah, a lot more to talk about. So first, we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. It is actually sitting behind me. You guys can see it. It is a Cooler Master display. It is a monitor. It is their GM34CW. I've been testing it all day today. It is pretty nice. It's 34-inch ultra-wide 1500R curve, which is a little different because most ultra-wides
standard
are 1800R. This is 1500R, so it's actually more curved, which is good for, say, like racing and more immersive, like MMOs. But for FPS, I haven't decided yet. I have to test it a little bit more. So that's why I didn't get to it this week. 144 hertz, 1 ms response time, all that kind of stuff. So that is sitting behind me. Also sitting behind me is a pre-built. You guys can kind of see it back there. But I always do it. I can never do it like the right way. Like where I want to point. Yeah. So it's right there. You guys might be able to guess what it is. It is a new version. This pre-built system has been out there for a while, but this is a new version. And I really wanted to, like, again, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I've wanted to get one in to just see how it actually performed. Because we've seen it at trade shows. you know, we've heard about it. I've seen videos on it, but I actually wanted to see how it was put together. And it's actually put together pretty well. I think I'm probably one of the only reviewers that opened it up.
Yeah, you sent some pictures to me. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So you can open it up because it is a PC and you can change out memory and some other stuff. I don't think a lot of people are going to do that, but I wanted to see what was powering it and how it's done and all that kind of stuff. So pretty excited about that. I'll have that for you guys next week as well. And this is where we talk about some of the stuff that we've been doing. So why don't you first talk about your new camera?
My new camera. When did I buy it? I bought it Friday, so 2 days after last week's podcast. So hopefully you've been able to tell a little better quality video here.
It's kind of hard because it is you are in the dark.
Yes.
Like, tell the quality difference.
Right, right. I'm pretty happy with it. I bought the Canon M200. So I already have a Canon M50. That's like my normal mirrorless camera that I shoot everything with, video and product photos and everything. But I picked up the M200 because I wanted just a little better video quality for, you know, this podcast stream and the Twitch stream and everything. So I kind of went back and forth. Like, do I want to switch over to Sony? Do I want to, you know, it's pretty small.
Yeah, it's a very small. I've seen one.
It's pretty compact, but it's, you know, again, Canon's mirrorless lineup. So all the lenses that I have for the M50 switch right over to the M200. So that was kind of an advantage there. It also has the clean HDMI output, which the M50 does not have. So I'm using that right now with another product that I'll talk about in a second. But it also supports, you know, Canon's webcam utility across USB. So I've got that option as well. It's kind of versatile in that that way. It's got the flip up screen, which is turned off, but and then I got dummy power running to it, obviously, because the battery's not going to make it through a whole podcast and stream session. So been pretty happy with it so far. I haven't messed around with it too much, but we'll get there. But I also connected it to the $25 capture card that you picked up a couple weeks ago, maybe. Plugged it in. It showed up as like a, you know, USB device, and it just started working. So,
and there's no lag. That was my biggest thing. It was a $25. Well, it's $29.99 now.
I think it was like $35 when I bought it. I mean, it's $25 or $35. It goes around.
But if you have a camera that has a clean HDMI out, and you want, or if you want to like capture, say like a
console
or something like this. Something. Everybody knows about the Cam Link or the Cam Link 4K, which is like over $100. Mm-hmm. This is $30, and I just picked one up just whatever. I was like, I think when I bought it was $24. I just like picked it up. I was like, yeah, like if it doesn't work, I can use it for something, you know, eventually. But so it's working. Go ahead.
My only complaint is that it's 30 FPS, capped at 30 FPS, right? So, which isn't like a crazy problem for, especially for the price, right? I can live with the 30 FPS, 30 Hertz. But yeah, the input, it'll capture 4K at 30 Hertz, and outputs at 1080 30. So
I think
so far it doesn't get hot. Like I just reach over and put my hand on it. It's a little warm, but it's been running for almost an hour. I mean, it's just barely warm to the touch. So
it's Yeah, like I have mine. We talked about my Sony camera, the ZV-1 that I've been using, and it's hooked up just like that, USB power to the camera and then into that, and it just works fine. I highly recommend it, guys. It is much easier. Ryan, have you tested the software for your camera?
Like the app?
Have you tested the streaming software for the Canon?
The beta webcam utility? I've used it. I used it a little bit with the M50. I used it for just a little bit on this, but I haven't like compared it or anything.
For mine, the Sony software that they have that allows you to do that,
you had some lag, right?
Yeah, you'll get a more than noticeable amount of lag. Now if you're a streamer, you can fix that. If you're using OBS, you can actually change
the little delay on your stuff.
Yeah, you can put a delay on it, but like right now, it's like if you're doing Zoom calls or stuff, you can't do that, because if you're just selecting the webcam, you can't, unless you really want to do it all through Obi, you know, it's just too much work. So that's all, like I said, that's why I picked it up. It was just so much easier to it was just plug and play. I plugged it in. And I didn't have to there's no software. You don't have to install anything. It just shows up as a webcam, which is pretty cool. So if you guys want to do that, any camera with clean HDMI out and $25 capture card. So definitely.
And then I forgot. Yeah, I also got the Wyze Band. I think I talked about ordering it. It came in.
You did?
Just a little like, it's going to focus on my face because I got it is there with the screen. It's got a little touch.
It is. Those look pretty cool.
I mean, for $25, right? Like,
how many steps you got today?
I don't know. 9,300.
Nice.
It's not horrible.
That's right? Good. That's more than
heart rate. Yeah.
Yeah. So I initially wanted to get it, and then it was back ordered, I think, because of coronavirus. Because I was like, okay, like I was never a wearable tech guy. Never. Never wearable tech. I was against it. I was like, I don't need it. Now that I went out and I bought a Gen 3 Apple Watch because I have an iPhone, and I was like, okay, like this makes sense for me. It wasn't cheap. I think I got it for $170 or $180, which is not 25. But I wanted the Wyze Band because I was like, that was going to be my test. It's $25.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, it's not a huge deal, right?
Right.
It's not a massive deal. That was going to be my test
activity tracking. You can customize it. Like there's some Wyze functionality built into it. So if you're already on the Wyze ecosystem with their cameras and lights and sensors and stuff, you know, you can add some activities to it. It has a ton of stuff that I don't know how they can do it for $25.
And
my data is sold already. So
yeah. And it works with Alexa.
I haven't configured that because I don't really utilize the A word that often, other than like turning on my
lights
here in the room and like turning off on the lights in my bedroom.
But basically, so but the thing is, basically, it is like a digital assistant.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think that is really cool. As a digital assistant, it's. Yeah, I mean, that just has so much more functionality for $25. I think is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to tell you guys about a movie recommendation. It's not tech movie related, but I think a lot of people will enjoy it. I really enjoyed it. It was one of the better movies that I've seen recently. And of course, with a lot of people quarantining at home and staying at home and not trying to go anywhere, flipped through so many movies recently and just seen some really bad ones. This one was really good. It's called The Old Guard.
That's intriguing.
Yeah. Charlize Theron is the main character. They're basically immortals. It's really good. The action scenes are really good in it. So it's definitely worth checking out if you have Netflix. It is on there. So definitely, like that. Check it out. It's pretty cool. And the last thing, real quick, old man said he bought a Freezer 33 CPU for $20 on Amazon. Didn't you review that?
Yeah, I just commented. Yeah, it's not a bad cooler. I looked at it when it came out, or at least the, I think it was like an eSport version is kind of how they sold it. You know, it was kind of colored and it was a yellow themed one. Yeah, no, it was good. I've had quite a few of the Freezer products, you know. Freezer 64, Freezer 7, just in the past, this was just as good as the others.
Yeah. Like I said, it's
and cheap.
When you can find something cheap that works, like what's the Cooler Master cooler? The
Hyper 212.
Yeah, the Hyper 212. Yeah.
I mean, that one's tough to beat.
Yeah, that one's really tough to beat. But also, I want to tell you guys, because I think a lot of people, again, you know, staying at home, you don't want to go to the grocery store as much. You have been doing HelloFresh for what, years now?
Probably like a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 years.
These are, and I just started with Home Chef. These are the meal kits that come to you with all of the groceries, and then you cook the food. They're not super cheap, but I actually thought they were way too expensive to make it worth it, but I never go to the grocery store anymore because I do this. That's time and that's extra money, because a lot of the times you buy stuff and then you'd never use it. And yep, it just goes bad.
Well, and right now it's not just time and money. It's possible safety and health, right?
Yeah. So I had started Home Chef maybe 2 months ago, and then I recently started HelloFresh, and I wanted to see like if there is any differences. And I do have to say that I do like Home Chef a lot better. The quality of the food, at least in my first box, wasn't great compared to Home Chef. The taste was okay compared to Home Chef, and the directions on Home Chef are much better. I know that like even I know the temperatures that meat should be at and things like that, but on HelloFresh it doesn't say like cook the steak to at least 135 for medium rare. Like, it doesn't tell you that. Whereas in Home Chef, it does. The directions are a little bit better in Home Chef, in my opinion. But I've only had one box from HelloFresh. I've had about four or five from Home Chef. So I would recommend Home Chef, but I'm going back and forth, which I think
need you to tell me what you had. Like, I forget what you had ordered. I know. I need to look again.
I'd send it to you. But I think that a lot of people, you included, Ryan, you should go back and forth, because I do feel that a lot of the things are the same. Their menus they do change, but you get repeats of the same thing. Whereas if you're switching between the two, it is a little different, I think.
One, so. Since you can pause, right? I don't know how Home Chef works, but like HelloFresh, you can pause and like stay paused for however long, and they're not going to ding you or anything. So you could go like back and forth if there's really no options that you like on one of them that week, or you've had them recently and just go to the other one for the other week.
That's what I do. So on Home Chef and HelloFresh, you can just skip that week. So I look at both menus and I'm like, okay, I'd rather have this stuff than this stuff. I skip that week and then I just alternate them. That's my plan. I want to add a third one. What's the Blue Apron? I want to add Blue Apron.
But that's a lot to juggle, though. Like, you're gonna forget one week and you're gonna have three boxes show up.
So that's the thing that I worry about. But it is nice to try them all, because you know, why go with one when you can try the different ones? That's what's kind of nice about them. You can pause. So that was my thing. Totally non-sacrilated. But I think it might help some people out who are like, again, it's just safer to not go to the store. And I do think I was against these. I was like, this is dumb. One, it's like $10 per person, I think, per meal or something. Yeah. Or something like that.
About.
Yeah. So it's $20. I get two for Kayla and I, it's $20 per meal for her and I. That is decently expensive. I'm like, this is way too expensive. But then again, I'm not going grocery shopping at all because I have everything that I need. It does make sense to me now. So
yeah, if you're a person that likes those leftovers or whatever, usually you're not going to have leftovers on. Like, there's only been a few things where we've had enough to, you know, have a leftover meal or at least a little bit. So that's one thing to keep in mind too. And speaking of like HelloFresh and everything, I finally got on there when Jim from the Home Gadget Geeks, he had been on there, you know, using it, and I was like, all right, fine, I'm finally going to use one of his like free codes to get it to get started. And so that made me think of, we were supposed to be on Home Gadget Geeks 2 weeks ago. They had to cancel last minute. I don't remember if we talked about this last week, but we're scheduled to be back there August 13th. So in a couple of weeks, we'll be over there to talk cooling and stuff. So
And we can talk about, I'll make sure to talk about these meal delivery kits too. I do have to say, it is, especially for you, because you do four meals, right? You do for the kids as well.
Well, so the kids kind of eat some of it. It really depends. So yeah, I get two meals every week.
Okay.
Is all. Yeah, so we just do the two meal kit.
Okay. But like what I'm saying is, there's no leftovers that don't get eat. There's, you know, you think you're going to make a meal and then you never eat it. You know, like the groceries go bad. With these meals, you always make, and usually, like I said, there's no leftovers.
Everything that was in the bag, like you've used it. And
Yeah, so definitely, like I said, check either one of those out. I do have links in there if you want to sign up or whatever. But that will be it. We are gaming over on Twitch after this. What's the game we're playing?
I think we're going to play... I don't even remember. I just installed it.
Hyperscape. Yeah. I think we might play that and maybe switch over to Apex.
We might have to switch back to Apex.
Yeah, we'll get a couple games of Hyperscape and at least to try it.
Go check out our Discord. I linked a little highlight video.
Yeah, if you guys are on Discord,
I'm trying to make a highlight video now of every week's highlights. So I'm trying to get Shinny to maybe send me some recordings. If you start recording your stuff, I can throw some of it together.
We can try to do that. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, that will wrap things up here, guys. For everybody that was here on the live stream, we definitely appreciate it. Definitely make sure you subscribe to the audio version as well. Just search for Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting app or software. Until next week, catch you guys later.